Okay, a few days ago we were learning the dinim of Baina. So to finish it up, so we learned anything which is a big keli, which is 2 feet by 2 feet by 6 feet, 24 cubic feet, is called a building, and you can't add to it, you can't build to it, you can't do one so. So let's say a refrigerator door falls off. So obviously refrigerator is big, so therefore you wouldn't be able to replace it. Now, how about replacing the shelves of the refrigerator? So many poskim write that's not really a problem because the shelves are made to take in and out. And because they're made to take in and out, it's not called you're fixing the shelf, not fixing the shelf, it's made to lower, higher, and that you could do. Or definitely, like the fruit bin baskets, you know, that definitely always you're opening and closing. Those for sure is not called building on Shabbos. But to attach a rubber suction, like a hook, to a refrigerator or to a wall, that's definitely forbidden to do on Shabbos. Because over there, when you do it, you put the suction on the thing, then you want it to last it permanently, basically, or for an extended period of time. So that would be boina, but the rabbinic biblical is totally irrelevant, but it'd still be forbidden to put a suction. But we learned magnets is not a problem. Now, what happens if somebody's glasses break? You can't, what?
I thought you said once it's better not to play with magnets.
I didn't say that. I said there are opinions that say you shouldn't play with magnets. Most opinions say you could. So I never said it's better not to play with magnets. You could play with magnets in Shabbos. Next, if somebody's like eyeglass, let's say the screw falls out, and then you have the temple, as this is called, it falls out. So sometimes people stick a safety pin in there, or a toothpick, just to hold it temporarily, you can't, because that's fixing. And it's, even though it's a keli, but you're still fixing and that. Now, what happens if you have glasses that sometimes there's a screw that keeps the glass in place. Sometimes it's just, pop in and out glasses. So the pop in and out, some people are makel that you could do it, because it's made to, it doesn't hold, but with a screw, you definitely can't, if a glass falls out, one of the glasses falls out on Shabbos, you can't put it back in. And not only that, then the glasses become muktzah. Because right now it's a din of a broken vessel. And because it's a broken vessel, and you can't use it on Shabbos, so then, now, what happened, what?
You could still see through one of them.
Yeah, but most people don't wear glasses that you can only see through one lens. Because it messes up the whole eyes. You can't even see straight.
I know, but
people don't see straight anyway. They don't think straight. They don't talk straight. They don't...
Rabbi, you said just now before, you said if it's on the bottom of it, you would be allowed... Not on the bottom of the glass, but over here on the bottom, there's like a little screw over here.
No, I said you can't do that.
No, you cannot.
There are opinions that say you can play with Legos. There are a lot of opinions that say you shouldn't play with Legos. Adults, for sure, should not play with Legos. Kids under 6 can play with Legos, preferably, under Bar Bas Mitzvah. But older people over Bar Bas Mitzvah should not play with Legos on Shabbos. What?
Magnetiles,
it doesn't hold this. Again, it's just magnets. So that wouldn't be a problem. As long as you're not forming a shape or a design, then that would be an issue. Then you can't.
So you take one lens that fall off and start reading with it?
Yeah.
Without the glass?
Yeah. Yeah, because that's usable as is. Then you could do it. Then that's not a problem.
So if a magnet falls off your fridge, you can put it back?
A magnet?
Falls off your fridge, you can put it back?
Yeah. Again, if magnets, and most opinions say magnets are not mooks, it's not called building, because it's made to put on and off. That's what magnets are for. You take, put them on and off. So that wouldn't be a problem.
So if the screw is in on the glass, you just need to pop it back in, then you can or can't?
No, cannot. Even to do it to fix it loosely, you couldn't. It's rabbinically forbidden, not minatayra, but it's still rabbinically forbidden to do. Okay, the next melacha really is ohel, but I'm just keeping that for a while. We're going to go to the opposite of baina, and that is the melacha of seiser, of destruction, demolishing. Now, building, like you have a few of the malachas are like this. You have writing and erasing. You have building and demolishing. You have sowing and tearing. So they're conflicting malachas. So basically, there's a din in the Torah. One of the obvious malachas is seisa demolishing. Now, why is it? Why is it forbidden? Where do we have it in the Mishkan? So in the Mishkan, they used to take apart the Mishkan. Just like they built the Mishkan, they used to take apart the Mishkan when they traveled. So therefore, demolishing was done in the Mishkan for the preparation of the next journeys.
So demolishing, either you're destroying or just taking apart?
Taking apart is also demolishing, even if you don't destroy it.
But the immediate purpose wasn't to build it again.
Yes, it was, in the next trip where they blend.
So
it's interesting because the Rambam holds, and many opinions hold, that it's only forbidden. Okay, let me explain the din. One second. Before we get even into that. Now, normally we learned that destruction is only rabbinically forbidden. Because Melachas Machsheves, we learned that it has to be constructive work. That's part of the definition of Melach on Shabbos. So, L'chayra, why is demolishing the building, L'chayra, you're destroying? So why is that a Melacha? And the Gemara says, Taka, where is it forbidden, biblically, to demolish a building? Is Seiset al-Menas Livnes. If you're destroying with the intent of building, then it's biblically forbidden. Why is that? What's the logic? I mean, the logic is very simple. Because destruction by itself is destructive. Destruction in order to build is part of the building process. In order to build, you need to destroy, to demolish. And therefore, it's interesting, though, the Rambam holds that the only time you chayv min ha-teira for seisid is when you demolish with the intent of building in the same place. Which, I don't understand it. There must be an explanation to this. Because in the Mishkan, when they took down the Mishkan, which is the source of demolishing, they didn't build it up in the same place. They built it somewhere else. And yet, it's called demolishing. But the answer probably to that question is because they camped al pi Hashem Yachanu v'al pi Hashem Yisol. They camped where Hashem told them to do. They traveled where Hashem told them to do. So therefore, this place is because Hashem said so. The next place is because Hashem said so. So it's really the same place. It's the place that Hashem said to build the Mishkan. So even when you take off the building, take apart the build the Mishkan, but the fact is you're going to put it up in the same place. What does the same place mean? Not necessarily physically, but the place where Hashem said to build it. So that's really called the same place because it's all the same place of Hashem. There's a very interesting about tefillin. You know, sometimes when you go on Miftoim especially, that you put tefillin on with you. Sometimes the tefillin is too big, sometimes too small, or you borrow somebody's tefillin in shul, right? And their head is bigger than yours, it's smaller than yours, so you have to change the knot and the head, you know, to make it bigger or smaller, right? So there's a tshuva in Asia that says it's a shayla if that's good. Why? Because the Torah says, ukshartim, it has to be a kesher, it has to be a knot. The Avnezer wants to say, a temporary knot is not a knot. So in other words, if I'm making it smaller, temporarily, and then I'm going to make it bigger again, for the guy I borrowed it from, so then it's not really a permanent knot, because I'm making it smaller. This is Avnezer. The Rebbe refutes it. And the Rebbe writes clearly that because similar to Alpi Hashem Yachnu v'Alpi Hashem Yisol, they travel Beis Hashem. So therefore, he said, because it's a kesher of a mitzvah, the mitzvah itself makes it a permanency. So therefore, there's no problem, the Rebbe writes, changing the knot for bigger or smaller. What?
Did the Eden travel in the desert on Shabbat?
Only when Hashem told him to.
On Shabbat?
Hashem told him to. Yeah?
Do you know on which day the Beit HaMikdash was burned?
Tisha B'Av.
Why? Which day of the week?
It says something. I don't remember offhand. It does say.
Because it was destroyed on Shabbat, gotta be built again.
Huh?
If it's destroyed on Shabbat, it's gotta be built again.
No. Yeah, but there's a famous question, it's not for now, but the famous question is, there's an Isser in the Torah, Le Sashchis, Bal Tashchis. You're not allowed to destroy things. So how did Hashem destroy the Beis HaMikdash? He's not allowed to destroy things. So the answer is, the Rebbe gives similar to this concept, by the way. Because Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash to put up the third Beis HaMikdash. So if you destroy a building to put up a bigger building, it's not Bal Tashchis. I knocked down a building to put up a bigger building. Why am I not destroying? Because again, the point is, it's not destroying, it's building.
It's improving.
So therefore, when you demolish for the sake of building, that is not destructive, it's constructive. But it happens to be the melacha of demolishing.
When you borrow somebody's building, and you want to change the size, are you supposed to ask, am I allowed to change the size?
You mean from the person who's lending it to you? Halacha says, as long as you put it back to where it was. In other words, 1 minute. You ask the guy permission to borrow the tefillin, or you
yeah,
just...
Can I use your tefillin? Yeah, yeah, go ahead, use it.
Okay.
But I am asking that.
But if you take it off and put it back to the same place, it's not a problem. If you borrow somebody... By the way, this while we're off topic anyway. If you borrow somebody's tefillin without permission, and you change the knot... and you don't put it back, you're probably not yotze the mitzvah of tefillin. Because the Gemara says, why am I allowed to borrow somebody else's tefillin if it's not mine? Why am I not stealing? So it says, no, because a person is happy to do a mitzvah with his money in a place where there's no loss of money. That means a person doesn't mind that you do a mitzvah with my tefillin. So therefore I can assume that, the Torah says, we assume that you wanted me to use it. But Lamashal, if I borrow your tefillin, and you leave your tefillin here, and I put your tefillin there, and you got to go look for it, and you're upset, then you really didn't want to lend it to me. Then I stole the tefillin. If I stole the tefillin, I didn't do a mitzvah. So the same definitely with a knot. You take my tefillin without permission, yeah, and you change the knot, and you don't put it back. Bottom line is, I'm not happy. If I'm not happy, then you stole the tefillin. So no, it's important to know.
What? Hot water is on a Shabbos. Can you turn it off?
Yeah, what's have to do with this? Yes, you can turn off hot water on Shabbos. Okay, now again, biblically, it's only seisa is only forbidden biblically when you demolish in order to build. What happens, though, if you demolish for the sake of demolishing, then it's rabbinically forbidden. So a practical purpose is still forbidden. In other words, you can't break down a lock to go into a room, obviously if the sakonis nefashis, then you could.
Okay.
But
if the person has bullion demolishing a building on Shabbos, is that the halachah of the Hesker?
It depends where the building is. If the building is in, number one, if the Jew is paying per hour, you're not allowed to do it, no matter where it is. If the Jew is paying for the job, and he doesn't tell them to work on Shabbos, but they come and work on Shabbos, if in the Shulchan Aruch it says the expression, if it's within the tchum, within the boundaries of the city, then you're not allowed to, because people know it's a Jewish home and they see goyim working on it and they don't know that you're paying for the job. They might think you're paying by the hour. It's called marasayin. If it's outside of the tchum, then people don't know and you're not paying them for the job. You're paying them for the job, not by the hour. People don't know it's a Jewish home owned by Jews, so then you'd be allowed to. So for instance, Teichat Chum could be details also. For instance, if somebody owned a house, let's say he bought a house in South Central LA to flip, you know, buys it and it fixes it over and sells it. So South Central, there are not too many Hasidic Jews. There are a lot of colorful people, but there's no Hasidic Jews. So therefore, if you pay the guy for the job and you don't tell them explicitly to work on Shabbos and they come there because nobody knows it's your house, Jew's house, so then you would be allowed to do it.